Hello and welcome to Voyage to the Wild, the podcast documenting my journey as I sail around the planet in search of extraordinary wildlife and the remarkable people working to protect it. My name is Charlie Young and I am a marine scientist and your host for this series. And together, we are going to venture off the beaten track to explore some of the wildest places on Earth. Coming up in this week's episode, our adventures up the River Gambie continue, with more unbelievable encounters with wildlife and a visit to the chimp rehab facility. Dusk was falling on the river. Sat peacefully at anchor, Ferrell sailed softly in the current, gently drifting from side to side. Anchored close to the bank, a dense tangle of vines, ferns, and bushes reached upwards in prayer to the kings of the surrounding forest, the palms. Flanking us on both sides, their large, elegant crowns fanned lightly in the breeze, silhouetted against a golden sky. Setting up the tent on deck, Alexei and I watched as the stars began to emerge. One by one, they glowed like cosmic candles lit by some invisible flame, ushering out the day and welcoming in the night. Since arriving upriver, we had been sleeping in the tent on deck, a decision that had brought us both a lot of joy. Being hemmed into a hot cabin with a mosquito net draped awkwardly around us had felt a bit like being buried alive in a small stuffy coffin. Liberated, in the tent we had panoramic views of the heavens above, and a welcome breeze to cool us down. It also offers an impenetrable fortress against the invisible army of biting bugs that had been feasting on me night and day. Learning the hard way, I had discovered an unfortunate fact. It would seem that I am utterly irresistible to any and all flying blood-sucking beasties. And their love affair had left me covered in dozens of swollen red itchy blotches, polka-dotted across all my limbs. At night I was waking up in fits of itching, unable to resist the temptation to scratch. Keen not to become a blood donor for the local mosquito population for yet another night running, I crawled into the safety of the tent and watched as the last bands of light retreated across the river's surface. The shadows of the night quickly closed in, and the banks now loomed like gaping black holes, darker than the night sky. Bringing our dinner into the tent, Alexei and I sat sandwiched together, peacefully feasting as we settled in for another night of water camping. As we chatted about the day, the unmistakable sound of a hippo interrupted us. Grabbing my Zoom recorder, I hit record, and what should have been a very normal dinner became one to remember.
Dinner with a show tonight. That's an impressive sound.
Why didn't they come closer again? You are literally confronting just right behind us.
Yep.
That's pretty impressive though.
Yeah.
It's like, hope they just don't bang into the boat.
Dung slinging happening.
Yeah, 100%. Fighting over territory, or
I think so, definitely. That is so close.
That is like just right here. This is crazy.
I hope it's not being aggressive towards the boat.
Yeah, I don't think so. Maybe a little bit.
I definitely heard a second hippo though.
Yeah.
Such an impressive sound. The strength of it, you can hear it from so far away, and then when it's that close, it just sounds like it's in the tent with us.
Yeah.
The only thing I was just considering though, if it's dung flinging that close to the boat.
I think we will have heard like this. Like on the tent, you know.
Is it raining in Gambia? In the dry season? Wow, it's just hanging off the back of the boat.
Yeah. Okay, here's the second one.
Oh, there's definitely some sort of territorial match going on at the moment.
And when they pass just right behind, we hear the bubbles coming up at the literally just right underneath us almost. Just like the other night.
Yeah, this seems to be a nightly occurrence, doesn't it?
Yes, very much.
Something so magical about it.
Yep.
This is definitely a hot spot for the hippos though, because this morning when we arrived there was already four swimming around in broad daylight this morning, so
yeah.
The fact that we're hearing them now so close to the boat at night is not a huge surprise, but this is probably the closest that we've had them, apart from the other night of course, where we had one, we're pretty sure, swim under us.
Yeah, swimming underneath the boat. That was pretty close. That's as close as you want it, really. Because closer than that, it's just starting to, what, bite your rudder, just like an orca.
News reports are flooding in from Gambia, where a sailing boat has lost its rudder to a hippo.
That appears to be some sort of learning behavior.
It is interesting here in Gambia how the hippos, relatively speaking, for hippos are pretty docile, and we've seen them come within 20 metres of fishermen who are fishing on the rivers here and have very peaceful interactions. Usually hippos are labelled as incredibly aggressive animals that at all costs you should try to keep a distance from, as they can be very territorial. But funny enough, here in Gambia they're just a lot more relaxed, and although in the daytime we see them, they're generally quite shy, they don't let you approach too close, or if they feel like you're approaching too close, they tend to disappear under the water and kind of try to find space between you and them. So it's interesting to observe that difference from the image that you're usually given of hippos.
Well, with a few notorious exceptions. Like when you see a hippo 100 meters away and then he just dives in the water, and next thing you know it's 20-25 meters just right in front of you.
Yes.
That can happen too.
That can happen. Not referring to anything here, are you?
No, I'm not referring to that. They went kayaking on Bird Island. Like the size of this head, I think I'll never forget. It's like the size of a small car. Like just the head itself, like when it popped right in front of us. Out of nowhere, we're like, where's the hippo? The hippo's gone. Then 30 seconds later, it swam all the way underwater, popped its head just right in front of us. and looking at us already. Mm-hmm. Just surface like
the death stare.
Yeah, like a submarine looking at us being like, go away.
Well, it seems to have calmed down a little bit.
Yeah.
As the sounds of the hippos faded into the night, the forest around us was filled with the symphony of cicadas. Sleep soon washed over us. But rousing some hours later, a loud and guttural bark rang out in the night. Unsure if I was dreaming, I opened my eyes and looked at my phone. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. The bark sounded again. Then, all around us, a chorus of alarm calls erupted. It was baboons. Nestled in their family groups amongst the palm fronds, the males were sounding alarm calls. Something had spooked them. The moon had now risen, enough so that I could see faint shapes on the river as I looked out of the tent's mesh window. Ripples danced on the surface a short distance away. A faint snap and rustle of vegetation broke the silence. I wondered what it could be. Maybe a hippo moving through the undergrowth. With most big predators having been hunted into local extinction in Gambia, it was unlikely to be a leopard prowling in the night. But still, the thought of these invisible hunters lurking somewhere close gave me a thrill of excitement. After a few minutes, the calls stopped. Peace resumed on the river. Laying my head back down on the pillow, my mind raced over the evening's events. At the beginning of this voyage, someone had told me that one night I would be surrounded in my bed by hippos and baboon troops, I would have laughed and said, "Ha, I wish." But here I was, in the remote upper reaches of the River Gambi, getting closer than I could have ever have imagined to wildlife, and having truly unique experiences. In this moment, a thought dawned on me. By daring to head into uncharted territory, we had happened across an undiscovered paradise. It crossed my mind that we were possibly the first sailboat to anchor here, and maybe even the first visitors to be experiencing this. The day we crossed under the power line in Janjambude, we had no idea what we would find. No sailors we met had been any further. In fact, most hadn't even entertained the idea. Looking online, there are no marked sites of interest or reviews, no marked anchorages or anything on the sailing apps. Just a winding wild river, stretching for miles afterwards. Why would you go any further? It's completely understandable. There's safety in doing what has been done before, and assurance in getting the most out of your trip by visiting the recommended sites. But all of us, myself included, have become way too reliant on Google Maps, apps, and social media to guide our travels. It's cheating us all out of true adventure. Thanks to Alexei and his knack for seeing through the noise, we were treading new ground and truly discovering. It was his idea to pass under the cable, and as I looked at the stars above, I felt so grateful he had suggested it. In that moment, I made a promise to myself, to keep being curious of the places off the map, to be brave and daring to go where others aren't. Because even as this small detour had taught me, you never know where it will lead you. And that is the very essence of discovery. The next morning over breakfast, I got a good look at the cheeky chappies that had woken me in the night. High up in the treetops, families of Guinea baboons, Papio Papio, watched us with suspectful stares. Realizing we were no threat, the adults were indifferent to our presence and busied themselves with foraging. The juveniles, however, were completely captivated by our presence. Unable to focus on anything else but the alien beings floating on a tree-like spaceship, they spent the morning moving from palm to palm in the hopes of getting a closer look. Once positioned in the closest palm, they were eager to show us their ferocity and began practicing their territorial displays. One juvenile lined up for its turn. Leaping forwards, it hopped down a large palm leaf, inching closer and closer to us. With each leap forwards, it raised its eyebrows and tried its best at a menacing stare. Behind it, I could see its siblings looking on with both excitement and terror in their eyes. Grabbing one another for moral support, they chattered softly to each other as they watched their sibling edging towards certain death. Daring to get closer than any had yet, the juvenile reached the end of the leaf. It buckled under its weight, and so did its confidence. Terrified by our calm demeanor, it ran back up the leaf and to the safety of the palm head and its siblings. For the rest of the morning, they continued this game. But at midday, their mothers decided the fun was over and it was time to move on. Clambering down the palms, I laughed as I watched their mischievous faces disappear into the dense undergrowth. For the next few days, we continued to explore the upper reaches of the river. We spent time kayaking and searching for life between the mangroves. One evening, Alexei found a monitor lizard. Another day, we spotted a water snake. Hiking up the few hills around, we spent time watching over the savannah like lions on Pride Rock. Eagles, harriers, and vultures soared through the skies, and all manner of animal tracks weaved through the grass. Every day, there was new and beautiful things to see. And every day we were totally alone, not another human being in sight. All too soon it was time to leave our wild paradise. Watching our anchorage disappear behind a bend in the river, a pang of sadness passed over me. I wondered if we would ever come back to this beautiful place. I hope it will be just as wild then as it is now, I said to myself. Pointing Feral's bows west, we made our way towards Baboon Island, the home of the world-famous chimp rehab facility, and the final stop on our adventure up the River Gambi. Established in the 1970s, the project began with just 9 chimpanzees, rescued orphans and confiscated individuals from the entertainment industry. Since then, dozens more chimps from across Africa and Europe have been rescued and rehabilitated here. Now, over 100 chimpanzees live in freedom across all 3 islands. Rounding the corner to the legendary islands, extravagant gallery forests loomed tall in front of us. Protected inside the River Gambi National Park, these islands are a stark reminder of the forests that existed once along the banks here. Nowhere else in Gambia do you find such forests anymore. Rampant deforestation has seen prized timber such as rosewood go locally extinct, and fewer large trees stand tall each year. Making our way down the navigable channel past the islands, I stared in awe at the scene before us. Life was everywhere. Every inch of everything covered in yet more life. Mosses, ferns, lichens, and creeping vines. The crown of each tree was also occupied by some creature or another. Red colobus sat in one, baboons and eagles in others. My mind was in overload. It was the most beautiful forest I had ever seen. Continuing down the channel, the sun was now fading. A cool mist began to shroud the river. Moisture oozed from the dense undergrowth lining the banks, and for the first time, I noticed the sweet smell of pollen in the air. I drew in a series of deep breaths, savoring the taste of each. The air was deliciously fresh. For weeks, a strong harmattan had cloaked us in stifling heat and suffocated us both with its dry and dusty air. Sores were constantly popping up in my nose, which now felt drier than sandpaper. Breathing in the fresh, cool air felt like being released from a prison. Closing my eyes, I relished the freedom. But breaking me from my thoughts, a light breeze blew down the river, and with it, the sound of chimps hooting and howling in the distance. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up. Grabbing my binoculars, I began scanning the banks and treetops. After 10 minutes, a black blob in a bush along the shore edge caught my attention. Quickly adjusting the focus in my binoculars, I honed in on it. My heart skipped a beat. Staring back at me were two beautiful brown eyes. Sat peacefully in a nest of branches on the edge of the river, a young chimpanzee was looking right at me. As we drew closer, our eyes locked, and I couldn't help but feel like I was looking at a person, as a moment of recognition and understanding passed between us. As we contemplated one another, a quote by the wonderful Jane Goodall ran through my mind. Chimps taught us we are not separated from the animal kingdom, but part of it. These intelligent and sentient beings have helped us understand so much about ourselves, our origins, and place in this world. In this moment, I truly felt it. Waking up early the next morning, I got ready for an exciting day. I was off to meet Hardy, one of the Chimp Project's longest-serving park rangers. Arriving in a small metal boat with a palm leaf sunshade, Hardy, a tall and slender Gambian man, extended his hand towards me with a kind smile. "Welcome," he said in a thick accent. Jumping in his boat, we cruised along the channels to the chimp rehab facility, situated on the opposite bank to the islands. Landing at the waterhouse, Hardy and I wandered up to the highest point in the Gambia, which happens to be the hill overlooking Baboon Island, and we began chatting about his story. Once a farmer, he was now one of the longest-serving park rangers. Having dedicated much of his life to safeguarding the chimps here, I was eager to learn his story and to understand more about his work.
Wow. What a beautiful view. So you explained to me that you've worked at this project for 23 years.
Yeah.
And what did you think about chimpanzees before you started working here?
Now, before we heard that chimpanzees are very, very aggressive animals, and they say they are also very, very strong. You know, they can fight back people. So when these chimpanzees are here, especially me, I don't even go to camp tent at all because there are chimpanzees. So until one day, one of the old staffs, met me. Say, Hadi, you know what? I want to talk to you. You can come to my compound later. I said, okay. So after I went to his compound, he said, Hadi, I want you to work with us, you know, at the camp. I said, yes, no problem. Can try. Okay, he said, okay, now next week, now you can come. Okay. So when I came, so in the morning she called me to the cage and said, Hadi, these are the chimpanzees. These are the ones that you are going to take care. Yes, and don't be afraid of them. Yes, they will not harm you. So when you pick them up, you know, sometimes because you are new to them, they try to sniff your body. Yeah, they even try to attempt to bite you.
Okay.
But all that, don't mind it. So they will not harm you. Yes, they are just trying to take the sense of your body.
Yes.
Yeah, don't be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I pick one here and the other one here. He said, you can just go maybe just around the jetty side. You can stay with them there in the morning till midday. Then you can bring them back to the cage again. So that's how I carry one here. Now I'm walking. The other one can walk.
Yes.
Then the bigger one can follow. So that's how I walk with them around. They're telling me, just observe them. When you go, just sit quiet. Yes. Don't be doing so much things.
Mm-hmm.
Just concentrate on them and see what they are doing.
So part of your job then was really to spend time with the chimpanzees and to teach them about the world.
For that time was to teach them, but also like to keep them, you know, they were in the hands of people. Now they want to keep them away from that now. So let them forget most of the things that they were doing, I don't know, in the restaurant or in the compounds. No, let that thing go out of their mind now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, let them be like other wild chimpanzees.
Okay.
Yes, in the bush.
So that's how you would rehabilitate them in a way. So
yeah.
You explained to me before that the chimpanzees on this island come from many different backgrounds. Some of them are orphans, mm-hmm. some of them are adult chimpanzees that were taken from the wild. And as you're explaining now, they were maybe used in the entertainment industry or
exactly.
put on show for tourists. So they have a lot of past trauma.
A lot. Well, yeah.
And so your role was really to try and rewild them.
Rewild them, yes, back.
Can you tell me some stories about the chimpanzees, about times that you spent with them?
One day also the female chimpanzee called Frankie and Kumba. Kumba is the youngest one. Then I was just sitting and they were also walking around. So one time Frankie turned over a rock. There was a scorpion. So when she saw the scorpion, she looked around and then picked up a stick. Now he's playing the stick with that scorpion. But Kumba, without taking her time to learn from Frankie, he started using his lip, like to test it.
No.
Like this.
Oh, no.
And then he was bite. Yeah, when she bite, then she cried. Now they all run. To watch me now. When she comes, just come to me and doing this to me like this. Like this.
So showing the lip
so
to you.
I walk where they were. I look around, then I saw the scorpion. Ah, I said, okay. I said, Kumba. You testing your mouth to the scorpion. You don't learn from Frankie. She was using the stick, playing with the scorpion, the stick. But not his lip, not her lip. So I was just like now, I was scratching here.
Okay.
If I stop, she let me to do more again.
Oh.
I keep scratching until it cooled down.
So these chimpanzees, because they had maybe been taken away from the wild and their parents from a young age, or spent a lot of time living with humans, there was a lot that they didn't know about their natural environment.
Yes, lot that they didn't know, lot, yes. Because sometimes when we come across with snake, so we have to take the action, that show them that this is dangerous. You have to take the action of running away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to take the action of running away. Because if you just say, they know that sometimes it's an alert. Yes, so it's an alert. So they will all run to towards me. So when they come, I'll try to show them, show them the snake. So when I know that they all see the snake, then I run. So when I run, they also cry and then follow me.
Huh.
Yeah. So just let them know this is something very dangerous. Because one day they also helped me, because they were up in a cotton silk, so I was just sitting nearby during the dry season. But there were a lot of grass around. So there we only use the trail of monkeys and pigs. That's the trail that we use. So I was sitting on a trail, and they were up. So I was opening a book, reading the book. In the hole, a warthog was coming.
Okay,
And it was following the trail.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting on the trail. So they saw it coming. They know that this warthog is coming straight to where I am.
Yes.
And they start to make alarms. Woo, 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 woo. Yeah. Then the pigs stop. So when I look at them, I also see where they are looking.
Yeah.
So when I just look over there, I see with the warthog. And the warthog saw me, and then he turned back again. I said, wow.
Wow. So they really considered you as a part of their family.
Very well, very, very well, very, very well, very well, very well, very well. They never bite me.
Never
bite me.
So they never showed any aggression to you, only care and...
No.
Wow.
Because, then after when I be with them for some months, they were very, very well used to me. Yeah. Especially Jao, when I'm just sitting quiet, he just walk nearby, just try to cause me. When I'm just sitting, he just push me like this.
Oh.
He push me like this. So if I also pay back, No, then he will turn. They can like rustling.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's like we rustle. Yeah, whole day like rustling.
Yes.
And it's just like about then 5 years, 6 years, no, 4 years old. Then 4 years, but very strong, flexible. If you want, you can turn anyhow, you know, and they even laugh. Chimpanzees, they laugh, you know.
So they're so much like us, and you could communicate with them very easily.
Very easily, yeah. Yeah, very easily.
That's wonderful.
When you are tickling them, you hear them laughing. All the time when you are wrestling with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until I become tired. Yeah, I say, Jao, now it's okay, now it's okay. I try to sit calm, but even though you try just kind of push me like
yeah.
Just try to cause me to play.
Doesn't something. Want you to stop, wants to keep playing.
Yeah.
So now no one goes on the island, so you no longer spend time physically with the chimpanzees. Do you miss it?
Yes, because, but even now, when they saw me, like Frankie, Kumba, Jao. Jao is a big adult now, yeah. But if the other teams are not there, yes, I can go and meet them,
mm-hmm.
even right now. Mm. Yes,
and they remember you.
Yeah, they can remember me. I'm not scared of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and they can also remember me.
Yes.
Yes, very well.
It's wonderful that you had such a strong bond with them, and mm-hmm. although they're now living on the island and very much wild mm-hmm. chimpanzees. Mm-hmm. That they
during the feeding, when we are feeding them, when they saw me, they start to say, do like this.
So they want to make physical contact with you. But
yeah.
A part of the work here, obviously, is to try to make them as wild as possible.
As possible, yes.
So no, there is no human interaction anymore.
No, anymore. Let them be like us, how they were before. Yeah.
So the original chimpanzees that were first introduced to this island, are they still alive?
Some of them are still alive. Yeah.
But most of the island now is made up of their children.
Mm-hmm.
So they're babies that have also now grown up and become adults.
Yeah. Adult now, very well. Even the last released ones, now like Frankie's first baby, Felix. Now she's a grown-up chimpanzee now.
Completely grown up?
Yeah, completely grown up.
And how does it feel for you? Because you've worked here a long time. How does it feel for you having seen these chimpanzees be released back into the wild and growing up and living as chimpanzees should wild? How does it feel to you?
That's very, very, very great. Because I see, you know, the way people are using them, you know, it's very wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That they let them go back to their place, you know, where they came from. Let them go back there, let them be there and do their own things, you know, in the chimpanzee way, in the chimpanzee style.
Later that day, we headed out together for a boat ride to meet some of the island's residents. Groups of adult and juvenile chimps foraged along the banks. Others groomed one another. Some were making nests. Hardy knew all of their names, pointing them out one by one to me. Studying their faces, they looked happy and at peace, any memory of their traumatic past long washed away. Although all physical contact has stopped, every day the team heads out around the islands to feed the chimps, substituting their wild diet with fruit and using the opportunity to check in on them. By maintaining distance, they ensure the chimps are living as close to a wildlife as possible, whilst keeping a watchful eye over what is going on. Bidding farewell to the team at the end of the day, I reflected on just how remarkable and unique this project is. Conservation is a scarce thing in Gambia, and few other projects like this one exist. The success of their work is evident in the richness of habitat still intact on the islands, and the blooming population of chimps and other life that lives there. But what stood out to me the most from my visit was the passion of Hardy and the other rangers. As I had come to learn, they hold a rare perspective and value of nature that not many other Gambians share. Their passion to protect also doesn't come from formal education, but instead from a place of deep love for wildlife. Arriving back on Ferrell, I wished that I had filmed Hardy's face during our chat. His eyes sparkle as he recounted each story, a smile stretched across his entire face. What an end this had been to our journey upriver. And what a gift it had been to meet someone so dedicated to conservation. Sailing away, I felt a renewed sense of energy. Pointing Ferrell's bows west, Alexei and I began the long journey back downriver to begin the next chapter of our Gambian adventure. This time, to investigate the issues endangering Gambia's marine life, but also the lives of its people.
That's it for this week. Don't forget to hit the follow button wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. And if you want to see more of the adventure, you can find me on Instagram. Just follow the link in the description below. And until next time, fair winds and smooth sailing.